You know, time is an interesting anomaly. You know, while the tick-tock of the clock is constant, it seems that our perception of time seems to accelerate and decelerate at a whim. I remember there was a Christmas when my sister and I did some snooping around the house. We were looking for some Christmas presents that my parents would have purchased for us, and we had desperately wanted a video game system. Now, this is not in the days of Xbox or PS2 or any of those things. We wanted the Atari 2600. Now, if you remember the Atari 2600, that was the creme de la creme of video game systems. Now, we would hoped that we would get it for Christmas Eve. And we knew that this gift would bring us unbelievable and unexpected happiness. Well, my sister, being a superb sleuth, located a receipt on the dining room table, and it seemed to indicate that our wishes would be coming true that year. Now was all the proof that we needed. We were convinced that we would be getting what we had hoped for. But the next 36 hours were the longest and slowest of my entire life. It was like that old sci-fi movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. The sun was not moving across the sky. The hours seemed to go slow. And in fact, time seemed to almost stop. I look at my sister and I would grin. She would look back at me with a smile. There was intense anticipation, dreaming of the hours that we would sit in front of the TV playing amazing games like Pong, or air-sea battle, or combat. Christmas Eve worship that year was the longest worship service I had ever been to in my life. I think we sang all 15 verses of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. If you don't believe me, 358 in your hymnal, you can read all 15 verses of it. That night, that rose was sure taking its sweet time to air Bloomith, that's for sure. Now, finally, with the last notes of Joy to the World echoing in the sanctuary, my sister and I ran out of the church and ran home. Don't be impressed. We lived at the parsonage right next door. We got home and we waited patiently. We waited for our parents. And we waited and we waited and we waited. How long could it take? It seemed like an eternity. There's not even coffee and donuts to slow them down. What is happening? The gift that we had longed for was so close, but tantalizingly so far away. Our patience was about to run out, but it was not the fullness of time. It's a familiar story played out in the season of Advent that we had just concluded. The wait for a long-expected gift was something that God's people were all too familiar with. The gift, not a game system, but a Savior. The waiting, not a day, but generations. Long ago, shortly after humankind had sinned, the Lord had made a promise. He promised he would send a Savior to take away from all of us our sin, death itself, and even the power of the devil. It was a promise that seemed to offer unbelievable and unexpected happiness to all of those who believed in the promise of the Messiah, not just for a moment in time, but for all of time. It was a promise of a gift that many people were sure that God had forgotten or had no intention of keeping. Have you ever been disappointed in the gift that you so desperately wanted seemed to never come? Perhaps it even happened this year. Or have you ever felt forgotten in the gift-giving season and felt left out of all the joy? Our text for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 4th chapter. It's the second reading for you in your worship folder. You heard it read from God's Word translation, but I want to read it to you from the English Standard Version. Paul writes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You know, we don't get a lot of the Christmas story in the epistles, those letters written to the church. There's Philippians 2, where we see that Jesus is born in the image of men. And in Colossians 1 and 2, where in him the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. But, you know, there's not much else. Even in the Gospels, we get Luke 2 and a half a chapter in Matthew, and that's about it. But here in Galatians chapter 4, Paul gives us the whole enchilada, just four short verses. Here we see the mystery and the majesty of the incarnation of the Son of God wrapped into a single package, tied up with a bow, given to you with your name all over it. It's for you. It's a gift that maybe you didn't know you wanted or know that you needed, but it's given freely to you. Forgiveness in Christ is yours. The longed-for gift has arrived. It was given to all of humanity, you and me included, and it happened in the fullness of time. It's an interesting phrase, in the fullness of time. It's captivated me for a long time. It's been fascinating. So I did a little bit of research this week. And as you dig into this, the Greek language in which the New Testament was written in has a number of different words for time. This particular word that Paul uses here has the connotation of a general period of time about to come to a conclusion. So right at the end, something amazing is going to happen. Best way to understand this is maybe an hourglass. If you take an hourglass and you flip it over, and all the sand starts flowing through the tiny opening in the middle, and the bottom starts to fill up and gets more and more full. And when the last grain falls, the fullness of time has appeared, and it's the time that God sent His Son. In the fullness of time, in our world's history, at just the right moment, it was the fullness of time. Just think about it. The amazing Almighty God, the executive director and producer of the entire cosmos, orchestrated everything to fulfill prophecy. And that the time was right, He sent forth His Son to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to die a sacrificial death, to rise victoriously from the grave for us all. Now, we don't have the time to get into all of the details, how the world was perfectly positioned with the Roman Empire in control, a complex road system in place, a common language that would make the spread of the story of salvation go throughout the world, and Israel's geographic position at the crossroads of culture and trade all made it a perfect place and a perfect time, the fullness of time. And because the Messiah was born under the law to redeem you and me who are under the law, we have peace with God. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Our peace and joy are now ours because we are sons and daughters of a God that we can call out personally, Daddy. That's what Abba, Father, is. That term of endearment of a son and a daughter to a father. And we are no longer slaves, but God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. And we're heirs of heaven. There are some who still think God works slowly, that God is waiting, that God is slow to accomplish what He has promised. But we have to remember that God's time is not like our time. In 2 Peter we read, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And once again, in the fullness of time, God comes to you. Which brings me back to that Christmas Eve so long ago. Finally, in the fullness of time, my parents came home. They went into their room and whatever secret place, they pulled out some gifts and they presented it to us. And it was a gift that brought joy beyond measure, unbelievable and unimaginable happiness. No, it wasn't an Atari 2600, although we did get that and we spent hours in front of the TV. No, the gift that we had been waiting for, which we didn't even know that we needed, was the gift of love given to us that night. For to us a Savior was born. To us a Son is given. And it's a gift that is timeless, a gift that lasts to eternity. Now, I'm sure that night the words thank you came out of my mouth at some point, and I'm not sure I knew what I was really thankful for. A video game, sure. But it was the love of God made manifest in my parents who reminded me of the greatest gift ever given to me, Jesus, my Savior. As the hourglass of this year runs out, it's the fullness of time once again. Today I want to remind you that a wonderful gift has been given to you, for unto you in the city of David a Savior has been born. And you will find him wrapped up in his word, located in water, secured in with and under bread and wine to give you everything that you ever wanted. This gift brings joy beyond measure, unbelievable and unimaginable happiness. And in Christ, you are forgiven. Life is given, and in him you are hidden. All that's left for us to do is do the same thing that we get when we receive a gift that is beyond measure, that's unbelievable and unimaginably happy. We say, thank you. As Dr. Luther said, thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that you give to us, wrapped up with a bow that came to us in the fullness of time, that has been given to each and every one of us with no strings attached. Lord, for the times that we have doubted your timing, for the times that it seemed like life was moving too fast, for the times that things seemed to slow down, Lord, we thank you for your presence among us to remind us that you are God with us, Emmanuel. Lord, with this gift, we know that sins are forgiven. And we ask that you would help us to share that gift with all those that we know. It's in his name we pray. Amen.